The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4. It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like it's better with you. My life, it's better with you. This is true, it's better with two. My life, it's better with you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my brother and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What's up, Trav Nation? I'm your middlest brother, Travis Big Dog Wolf of McElroy.
Good morning, Trav Nation. I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
I am disappointed in us brothers.
Why? Okay. I am too, just like constantly, just the quality of our output, the content of our character.
Well, we've been traveling and we did the tours and we've been so focused on comedy that we've let slide our core competency.
Okay.
Our promise to the listeners, sports coverage.
Yeah, sports coverage. Do you guys know how mad it makes me that I was on vacation during the week that a man was disqualified?
Yes, Justin, this is all I want to talk about.
But we can't, Trav.
What?
This is what I want to talk about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So, yeah, you do, Griffin. The French pole vaulter?
Oh, he was part of a decathlon.
His privacy got caught on the bar.
His privacy got caught on the thing.
I don't want to talk about this. That stinks.
I know, because everybody did already last week. And it would have been primo. The way we would have done it, I think would have been tasteful.
I think it's in bad taste to comment on it now. And I don't think it's okay to comment on it now.
And we shan't.
But back then, please know we would have nailed it. We would have done it with discretion.
Enough said.
I want to talk about, so purportedly, and this started back, I believe, with the Tokyo Games. They started using these cardboard beds.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, they're anti-fuck beds. This is going to make it hard because, like, they're flimsy. They're going to fall apart. And
why would they? Oh, just from.
Oh, okay. Griffin, the Olympic Village is a bacchanal.
No. I get that. I guess I'm just wondering about what happens in a sex act that the bed is just like, nope, that it wouldn't. Like, I imagine if I'm an Olympic athlete, I just spent the whole day throwing spears around.
Having the laziest sex of your life?
I think I'm not. I think I slump down in bed, like, time to kick. My body is the most tired a human being's body can be. Time for bed. And it's I didn't even fuck. Then you have to go to the RA and be like, my bed broke. And they'd be like, who was it? Was it that Norwegian swimmer? And it's like, nah, man, I just sat down on it. Thank you, Olympics.
Listen, there's no way it's about them not having sex on it. I'm tired of this rumor going around.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. For starters, I don't know many people who, when they're super duper 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 excited about humping, are put off because there's not a bed nearby. Yeah, that's right. Number one. And I certainly don't think any of them are fucking Olympians. My friend,
if anything, I bet Olympians feel weird not making it as physically exertive as possible. Like, we're going to hang from a door frame while we're just holding on to everything, doing backflips while we do it.
I'm a guy that professionally shoots guns and skis. I'll figure it out.
What's great is, so that rumor started going around, and the Olympics had to come out and be like, we didn't do that. No, it's part of a recycling initiative. We can't stop them from having sex.
That's right, you can't.
Like, they give them twin-sized mattresses. These people, some of them giant, right? Yeah, they're like Michael Phelps has the wingspan of a great condor, right? Yeah. And they're putting him in a twin-sized mattress. He's still, I guarantee, having fun. I don't think
Michael Phelps is sleeping at the Olympic Village. That would be wild.
That would be bonkers.
Like, full-on, like,
well, he's retired
dude going
now,
back
so
to his high
not...
school. Like,
yeah.
He has his pod in the bay that he climbs into with the and he snuggles up with a big octopus.
Yeah. Like God intended.
Like God intended him to do.
I was thinking about how you decide to become a synchronized diver. You dive one time and you're like, something's missing.
I'm alone. I feel so lonely.
It's like another half of me.
Or I think it's more like a bowling lane thing, right? Where it just happens to be the two of you step up at the same time,
yep.
Do it, and you're like, did you just do that? Because I did that. Are we in the drift? And I think now you have to become
everyone. They won't say this out loud, but I will. Every synchronized Olympic diver is married to the other one. They're all married.
Is that true?
They are all married couples because you can't not fall in love deeply, get married, doing what they do day in, day out. I have to imagine like 10 hours a day, these people are diving in perfect synchronicity. Their hearts and minds are connected in a very tangible and visceral way. Then they get married.
I thought you meant they get married first. Like, all right, you two, married. Now go practice.
I think the problem that you're having, Griff, is you're thinking of marriage and that sort of love as the deepest expression of love. So thereby, the diving would be a conduit to that. I'm saying is... the diving is actually a deeper, more intimate connection than your marriage bed, is what I am suggesting.
That is interesting.
Your swimming partner should be jealous of your, like, you're spending too much time at home with your your wife because you're married to
then
the
diver. Every synchronized diving team used to be married. And now they're divorced to each other now. Because they found this deeper...
to each other.
They're divorced from each other, but now they keep it real.
They did a divorce. They did a divorce to one another.
Okay, can I suggest that if that is a really great shorthand, we don't even ever have to say, but it was amicable, ever again. You're either divorced from someone or divorced to them.
Yeah, I like that.
I am divorced to Kyle, actually.
Yeah, oh, Kyle? Yeah, I'm divorced to him.
We're great friends.
Divorced Together sounds like the name of a ABC sitcom that would run for 9 episodes before getting canned.
Or 9 years.
Or 9 years, one of those.
Let me also offer this. If you're separated, you're engaged to be divorced.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I like, anyway.
You're ungaged. You're ungaged.
You're ungaged. It's pretty cool.
And I also, this is not related to the Olympics, but can we start from now on, if you're telling a story and you're telling a story about your partner back when they were like your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, can you just say like proto-wife, my proto-husband, my proto-partner?
I don't think that's okay. I think knowing that they have the option to really cut and run and...
No. I'm saying... I don't like having to say, like, well, my girlfriend at the time, now my wife. She was the girlfriend, now
my wife. She was my girlfriend at the time. Yeah. If only there was a sort of neutral term that wasn't necessarily...
It's partner, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or a name.
Or a name.
If you just say the name, Justin, you don't get to do a Borat voice.
That's
true. Next time.
Such a good point.
Last year, or the last Winter Olympics, they put condoms in a really squeaky loud machine, if I remember correctly. You had to go.
I like that.
They put the condoms in like a vending machine in the middle of like the food hall or whatever. They had to go get.
But there was a minion in the vending machine too. And he would be like, condom alert. And everyone would know.
Wrap up your banana.
But I heard that
they're all minions.
I heard that minion got so exhausted from handing out condoms that he died in the machine. And his skeleton is, you know how they don't take down any of like the Olympic buildings? His skeleton's still in there. He was just, by day two, he was like, another condom. Okay, hold on. Guys, form a line. So many of you need condoms right now. I heard in some Nordic countries, they put babies in cardboard boxes instead of like big cribs, and it, everyone like loves it. Everyone's like,
they're
wild
better
about
for Earth,
it. And it's good for Earth, and it's good for the baby. Maybe
what is it? Oh, is this the cardboard beds? Where are you coming from? Because last I was referencing Minion in Minion in vending machine is like a baby in a box in a Nordic country.
No, no. I mean, either I guess that metaphor goes both ways.
Let's do a question. This first question I really like, and it comes with a visual picture, which we don't often get to do.
A visual picture, you
yeah,
say?
Yeah, listen, I've got a lot on my mind.
I work at a small local history museum. I found the cutest duckling teacup and saucer in our collection. Museums only display like 1% of their collections, and we're trying to declutter anyway. They don't need the cup, but I do. How should I ask for the cup, or should I plan a heist instead? For reference, here is a photo of the cup. That is from Dabbling Duckling Dreamer. And I mean, it's adorable. It's like a small teacup, and the ducks look like so fluffy you could just eat them.
Oh.
And the one of them is coming out of a shell, and another one's on a lily pad. I mean, it's adorable.
It's adorable.
There needs to be an Indiana Jones who's the opposite. I'm going to call him Illinois James. Mm-hmm. Needs to go into museums and be like, this does not belong in this museum. And him and Indy can go back and forth about it for a while. In fact, I want Illinois James to travel around with Indiana Jones as he goes into this crypt and he's like, oh, look at that tablet. It belongs in the museum. And Illinois James be like, look all around, man. There's tablets all over this fucking place.
Or maybe Illinois James is sitting there like, actually, this is a very important artifact for the people who live here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So perhaps about that, Indy.
It belongs right where it is where it belongs. I mean, this person was buried with this.
Indy's defense, it was bulletproof at the time, which was, yeah, I'm stealing your important cultural artifact. But do you want the Nazis to have it? Because that's the other option. Yeah. I don't know if you know this about these sacred tablets that are fundamental to the history of your culture, but if you touch them right, ghosts shoot out and make you immortal. Do you want the Nazis to have that one?
It does work best when he's stealing from people who already stole it.
Yes.
And it's just like, okay, given the option between and it belongs in a museum.
It's already stolen. That part's done.
You can't do anything about that.
Something's occurring to me right now. Museums are always trying to get money. This is one thing I know, right?
Even wow, that's fucked up, actually. You're right.
Yeah, museums are always trying to get money out of people. And this person is saying, and I've heard this before, that like they only display like 1% of their collection. So it seems to me that there's a real opportunity here where people could pay for an authentic Indiana Jones, like more of like a national treasure heist experience.
Ooh.
Where you pay the museum $100 and you're like, for the next 24 hours, you're good.
Well, I don't think, Jonathan, I don't think you can make it a blanket. Carte
yeah,
blanche.
But like within a dollar, you have to steal under the dollar amount, right?
Like,
okay, very good thing. You have to go into the annals. You have to find something that like nobody's gonna miss, and they probably have shelves where it's like, you know, bookstores have this thing where inside the books cost one thing, and in the library they're free, and then there's like a zone outside the bookstore. It's like you can steal these.
Yeah. These are stealable.
And it would
be better for us.
It would be better if you would steal these. But we can't say to steal them, but like we're charging a quarter. So
we are inside.
Them. Yeah.
We are inside. The books
you
are
know
not.
There's nothing we could do about it.
Nothing
just
at all.
We couldn't steal them.
We're so slow. We couldn't, even if we saw you through a window, could not chase you.
It's occurring to me in the first three Indiana Jones movies, and I'm not as familiar with the ones after that. In the first three movies, none of the three artifacts he's after end up in a museum. He's 0-3.
One ends up in a big warehouse, which is like a museum no one goes to. And most importantly, the Nazis don't get it.
Yeah, but it's not a museum, right? It's a warehouse.
The second one is a bunch of rocks that glow.
And he returns it to the people.
He gives those back. That's
and, but
that's
the
killer.
Third one is the Holy Grail that
and
shouldn't
falls
be
down
a
big, but it falls down a big pit. It's actually, can I tell you, Justin, it ends up in a worse location than when he began.
It's
he
true.
Was being guarded by a Knights Templar, and by the end, it falls to the Earth's core.
Yeah.
So he has actively not preserved history through his actions.
He kicked history into lava.
Yeah.
We're going to get, or not, maybe it's just wedged in between the two craggy rocks down there, and the next expedition that comes and is like, well, we have this rope. I guess one of us has to climb. The good news is we won't be killed by a Templar's ghost or solve a bunch of spike traps. So, like, really, he really loosened the lid of this pickle jar.
Okay, can I expand this out a little bit farther,
please,
guys? If we assume that God is an all-knowing, omnipotent deity.
Which, in the Indiana Jones universe, he clearly is.
He is.
Or they, she. That,
who I think in the Indiana Jones universe, they were pretty squarely he.
Mm-hmm. She sent her son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, right? Mm-hmm. And that is God's design.
Yes.
The Indiana Jones franchise is reaffirming God's plan, God's design.
Yeah.
As outlined in the Christian religion.
Well, and to be clear, the second movie does establish there is a pantheon of gods. So it's not just the Christian God, all gods as far as we're concerned.
But this God who is omnipotent and all-knowing, he had the Holy Grail, and it's like, here's my plan that I've got it all worked out.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm going to put the Grail with a bunch of other cups.
Yeah.
Good.
Loving it.
And then I'm going to have a nice Templar guard it. That's pretty good, God. And then what's next for the plan? You're going to love this part. So there's this guy, Indiana Jones. In my grand plan, this guy's going to come in, steal it from the knight, kick it into some lava, and bolt with his dad. It's going to be unreal.
Yeah.
It's like, why?
Good news is, Sean Connery lives. He saves his dad, so do not sweat that. Dad.
And who's Sean Connery? Oh, he won't be born for eons, but you're going to love him.
But I do need to sit in this room for, let me check, 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Just before anybody shows up. That's right.
Yes. No, okay. You're going to be a little bored. I did leave some highlights. Oh, I see you've solved most of the crosswords. That's too bad.
Awkward. What I like to think is that God was like, now protect this cup. And the Knights Templar was like, cool, man, how? And he's like, you'll figure that out. So the Knights Templar then had to build some traps. And they're like, they were so bored. At first, they were just like, we'll fight people off with their swords. And they were like, man, we're getting so old. There's no way we're going to fight people with our swords.
We got to do some traps.
We got to build some traps, guys. Get me some big swinging axes and a floor that falls away if you don't step on the right name. What? Yeah, I was going to do a riddle thing where one of us always lies and one of us always... But that feels...
We're going to do this thing where there's going to be this bridge, but if you're standing at the exact right spot, it's going to look invisible and how it fades into the rock wall on the opposite side. What if they move a little bit from side to side?
Oh, that's fine.
That's fine. Yeah, if that's
solving
it.
What are we testing them on exactly? Oh, fuck. That's like a penitence.
Good Christian values, basically, as viewed through the lens of dungeon traps.
Yeah, man.
One of those times, and I'm sorry that this question has pivoted so completely. At the end of Last Crusade, if Indiana Jones had seen that man wither away into bones and had just been like, stop the adventure. Are you a ghost? And if the man is like, yes, I am an old Templar ghost. And then Indiana Jones is like, what the fuck? So like, there's an afterlife and there's a whole, what happened? Does everyone become ghosts? Did that guy who just turned into ashes become a ghost, or do you not get to be a ghost if you turn into ashes because of old Jay?
Where's he going? He's going to hell, right? He's a Nazi. He's going to hell, right? I'm right, right? He's wrong. He's going to hell, right? This is so important.
It's really important you tell me this. Do you know God and Jesus?
Someone had to tell you to bring that cup here, right? Someone had to tell you. When that old dude drinks the thing, and he turns to dust, old dude doesn't react in horror. So he knew that was, he's seen it before.
Yeah.
And enough that it's gotten old. It's played out.
Yeah.
Dude turns to dust before his very eyes and he's like,
Yes.
I'm thinking like, you lucky duck.
This would have been another great moment, Travis, for this man turns to dust and the old ghost is like, you have chosen poorly. And Indiana Jones is just like, holy fuck. Did you see that? That man just got so old so fast and died, and you're chill with that?
How often does this happen that you have a quip lined up about it? And you were like, oh, fuck.
The old ghost just puts a tally mark up. Indy goes for the wrong cup. He's like, come on. Come on, man.
You seem cool, dude, so I'm going to give you, I'm going to throw you a bone. Look for the cup of a carpenter, maybe?
Maybe he used to do it like, another one bites the... I don't even feel like it anymore.
This may have been the first time he had an audience. This may be the first time any could be like, hey, listen, usually I imagine this is more of a solo affair. I got to witness this failed choosing of the cups. I'm going to tell you, your vibe sucks. Your vibe is challenging and creepy.
Will you just tell me which cup it is? Yes. Yeah. No one ever asks. Roll a DC 15 investigation check.
What's the right religion as long as we're talking about?
Where are we at with this?
Who had a bet? Episcopalians. No kidding, huh? Ah, dang it. I have my money on the Lutherans. Oh, golly.
Always put your money on the Lutherans. Can you do another?
Always bet on Lutheran.
Another question? I'm hungry for it.
Yeah, I'd love to do that for you, Griffin. At my apartment's pool, and one of the people who rejected me from college's improv group is there.
Oh.
I don't think they live in the building. I think that their friend let them in to use the pool. My rejection last fall, and I would really like to re-audition this fall. Should I go say anything to them? If it helps, I have never been to one of their shows because I was too sad after the rejection. Other pertinent detail, they are reading a book. That's from Yes and What Now.
I assume when you say if it helps, you don't mean you in the situation. You mean giving us context clues. Because I don't know how saying to them, like, and just so you know, I haven't been to one of these. Yeah. Like, I don't think that helps you.
This could be an M. Bison, the day you were rejected from the college improv group was the worst day of your life for me. It was Tuesday situation. And you have that to your advantage, I will say. You now have the element of surprise, which in any social situation is always beneficial. I do think this is time to show how much you've grown as a comedian and as an artist. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I think maybe. You hit him with a, you walk out of the pool changing room out of one of the toilet stalls and you hit him with a, do not go in there.
Oh, that's so good. Woo! That's great, Griffin.
I think you hit him with one of those and the person will be like, hey, have you ever done improv? It's like, funny you mention that. You thought that this wasn't good enough. And now guess what? You're never going to get it.
Oh, maybe pull out your phone, improv a full blown like conversation on the phone, right? Where you're like having like a thing, but then it turns out like you're a secret agent who is allergic to farts.
At the
right?
end, you just take the phone and you turn it around like it's there blank. Was never anybody on the phone.
That was all.
And it's actually a picture of a QR code. And you're like, if you scan this, it'll give you my phone number and I could be on your team.
Yeah. Guys, I'm doing a thing right now I don't usually do when we world build like this, where I'm imagining myself being at this pool and witnessing this encounter, how quickly I would stand, dry my body, and take flight. Away from it. Oh, am I? Oh, shit. Am I in the middle of an improv audition? I gotta get the fuck out of here, man. No.
I would go in the pool. You have to go.
I just dive into the pool and immediately start breathing in so that I can be unconscious
as
quickly as
possible. That's the best thing about pool if you have social anxiety, because they can't get you down there.
They cannot.
They can't get you down there. And you can go down for as long as you're physically in. That's why David Blaine started getting into the game. You know what I mean? He was like, I'm so tired of conversations. If I could just bail for 7 or 8 minutes.
Well, David Blaine was hanging out a lot with Tobey Maguire and Leonardo DiCaprio. So I understand why he would want to just stay out of conversations a lot.
Yeah. And all he would need to hear is, no, man, that's the thing you misunderstand about Buddhism. It's like,
I'm going to be down here. I'm just going to be out of here. Yeah. Bye. Wow, David Blaine's been down there for like an hour. Is he okay? Yeah, he said he wants to be a magician. Just let him go. So you're going to ask, oh, I've read that book, right? Oh, I love that book. What part are you at?
Insane.
But you haven't. But you haven't read this book. But you haven't read this
book. Oh, I see what you're saying. Now it's a scene.
Can we drill down on this, though? How do we feel about what are you reading? Because to me, I read a book. It's a blinders. I'm not here. I'm in the book.
Yeah.
You can't see me. I'm in this world.
Yeah.
How do we feel about what are you reading, guys? Is that just me? Because I take it very personally. I find it extremely hurtful.
I think, what are you reading? What are you listening to? Anything that I'm like, especially if I have like headphones on, it's like I'm sending the signal that I'm trying to remove myself from this plane of existence into a different dimension where it's the music or it's the book. I agree, Justin. The only time what are you reading is allowed is if it's a friend of mine that I'm so close with that I'm excited to tell them about the
even
book.
That. Nope.
Okay. It's the worst. That's the worst one.
Would you rather get hit with a what are you reading or what are you listening to?
Oh, my God.
Because now you are taking me out. You're taking me out of the Matrix.
Yeah. And I didn't hear you the first time, so I want to make you repeat your question that you probably weren't that interested in anyway.
And the answer is going to be like Korean Vocaloid grunge pop. What do you think about? Got anything to add to that conversation? I don't think so. Unless you do, and this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
My podcast at 1.5 speed, so yeah. I can remember what I said last time.
Oh, yeah.
And you?
Oh, ASMR here in public. Do you want to?
Yeah, what are you listening to? Here, give it a try. I think you're really going to like it.
This mouth sound is going to change your life.
This is good.
Oh, yeah.
This lip smack is going to change your life.
Thanks, Zach Braff.
You're welcome.
No problem. Oh, shit, what's he doing? He's tapping on a soap bottle. You're listening this in public.
Take me to the money zone, Justin. Justin, pick me up.
Carry come on, me Travis.
Take me to the money zone. Get on my back. We're almost there.
I don't think I'm going to make it, Justin. You go on without me. I don't have the strength.
No, Travis, you're not going to die on this side of the ad break because they paid the for strength. All three of us.
Holy shit, man.
He's giving birth to the money zone. It's amazing.
I must die so that the money zone can live.
It's coming out of
Holy
his belly
shit.
Button.
It's sprouting out of him like a tree.
It's a giving tree.
Whoa.
It's giving tree. It's giving.
His face came out of one of the blooms. That's Travis's face in one of the blooms.
Oh, wow.
Eat my apples. Hey. Eat my apples. I know you're hungry, boys. Eat my apples.
Wow. These are squishy. Are they not ripe, or is this how
no,
they're
no. supposed to That's how they're supposed to be. That's
oh,
my
shit,
new
shit, mine
apple.
Had a little toy inside.
Yeah, man, what'd you get?
Action car.
Oh, fuck. No, give that back. I was supposed to. That's mine. It's the take back tree. It's what I was going for.
Yeah, I got you.
Have you ever needed to send something, but you thought if you had to leave the house to do it, you were just absolutely going to have a hissy fit? I know. Hi, I'm Justin McElroy, paid endorser for Stamps.com. If you want to save money and save time and you want to mail something through our incredible postal system, well, Stamps.com is your one-stop shop. If you're a personal user, that's great. It's great for small businesses. Because they're going to get you all set up and get you fantastic rates. Now, what do I mean by fantastic rates? Because a lot of people say that. Oh, these prices are great. But do they mean it?
Do they? This.
You can get rates you can't find anywhere else, like up to 89% off USPS and UPS. USPSPS. They've got you. They've got you. If you never use stamps.com, it's a great time to get rolling because we got a promo code. It's my brother. And when you head on over there and use that, there's a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale with no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page and enter code my brother.
Hey guys, it's me, the ZocDoc Shock Jock. And I'm talking to all you nasty guys out there.
Oh, me? I'm a nasty guy?
Yeah, you got that weird thing on your butt cheeks.
Whoa.
Where'd you get that from?
That weird thing is beautiful. It makes Justin, it's part of what makes Justin who he is.
Yeah. I smelled one of your beefers the other day, and it was so gross. I think you gotta get yourself to a physician.
I'm really sorry for the shit this guy says, by the way.
He's really mean.
Yeah, weird, he represents an entirely different era in, I think, like, American radio broadcasting.
Yeah, it's a bygone time.
A bygone time.
Yeah, I
don't want you guys to think I'm enjoying this character. I think he sucks
of course,
shit.
Griffin. This is actually mandated by the copy, which I thought was so strange.
Yeah. Anyway, if you fart sniffers want to get your health seen to in an easy, convenient way, you got to go to ZocDoc. Shock Jock sounds like ZocDoc.
Oh!
Griffin, it's so obvious to me now.
I got it now. Okay, if you had run that past me at the beginning, I think I would have been with you.
Yeah.
Here's the issue.
Yeah?
Is that I actually have a great deal of personal experience using ZocDoc. I basically used it to recreate our entire medical network after moving here to Washington, D.C., and it has been genuinely the best way of doing it. And so, like, I have all of these, like, really, like, personal success stories from using ZocDoc, which is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors, choose the one for your needs, and click to instantly book an appointment. You know, in-network appointments with over 100,000 healthcare providers across every specialty, from mental health to dental health to eye care to skin care and so much more. And they book, like, really fast. Typically, they happen within just 24 to 72 hours of booking. You can even score same-day appointments. ZocDoc. But I can't do that personal experience while embodying the shot, the ZocDoc shock
job. Yeah.
But they have mandated that.
Yeah, that's right. So get off my nuts and stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/mybrother to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/mybrother, ZocDoc.com/mybrother.
Wow, it sounded physically painful there at the end, Griffin.
Yeah, now I need a throat doc on ZocDoc.
Oh, that's fun.
Hey, do you have a favorite episode of Star Trek?
If you do, you should also have a favorite Star Trek podcast.
Greatest Trek is about all the new streaming Star Trek shows, and it's a great companion to The Greatest Generation, our hit show about back catalog Star Trek that you grew up with.
It's a comedy podcast by two folks who used to be video producers, so it's a serious mix of comedy and insight that fits right into the Maximum Fun network of shows.
And Greatest Trek is one of the most popular Star Trek podcasts in the world.
So if you're following Lower Decks, Prodigy, or Strange New Worlds, come hang out with us every Friday as we roast and review our favorite Star Trek shows.
It's on MaximumFun.org, YouTube, or your podcatching app.
From the twisted minds that brought you The Adventure Zone, Balance, and Amnesty, and Graduation, and Aethersea, and Steeplechase, and Outrespace, and all the other ones, the McElroy brothers and dad are proud to reveal a bold vision for the future of actual play podcasting. It's called The Adventure Zone versus Dracula.
Yeah, we're going to kill Dracula's ass. We haven't recorded all of it yet. We will attempt to kill Dracula's ass.
The Adventure Zone versus Dracula.
Yes, a season I will be running using the D&D 5th edition rule set. And there's two episodes out for you to listen to right now. We hope you will join us. Same bat time, same bat channel.
I see what you did there. I want a munch
squad.
What to munch?
Welcome
to Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast profiling the latest, greatest brand eating. And I am so excited to tell you guys a little bit about Baskin Robbins.
Oh, boy.
Because they're getting in the jewelry business. And
damn time, I think.
I'm just so incredibly excited about this partnership. It's a sweet collaboration, really. I say, and we've all been saying, with luxury jewelry designer Susan Alexandra. As National Ice Cream Day approaches, Baskin Robbins, the world's largest chain of ice cream specialty shops, is excited to announce a partnership with cult designer Susan Alexandra. Wait, hold on. Let me try that.
Yeah, hit the emphasis different.
Cult designer, that's
oh, okay.
Cult
about
this.
Yeah.
Cult designer. Yeah, I got it. This collaboration celebrates the joy of ice cream and the artistry of charm jewelry, offering consumers a delectable accessory to cherish. Charm jewelry has been experiencing a resurgence in popularity. Now, this is interesting when a press release feels the need to tell you this.
It's good.
This is
cool.
There's a reason we're doing this.
We're not doing it for a reason that isn't so self-evident to you. It's more popular now than it was.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not weird.
No, yeah, people likes both these things.
Fashionistas are drawn to its nostalgic appeal and customizable nature. Each charm tells a story, serving as a wearable memento of cherished memories and personal passion.
Those stories are always like tennis.
Tennis! Plays! I do plays!
Apology from husband.
Grandson, birth month. Granddaughter, birth month. Tennis again.
One of the grandkids, don't know which one.
Pickleball.
Yorkshire Terrier. Linda.
It is weird that Baskin-Robbins has now spent two paragraphs attempting to justify
what their actions.
Ice cream necklaces. Like, it's, trust us, this sounds crazy. The centerpiece of this whimsical collection is a trio of charms, meticulously crafted to resemble iconic favorites from Baskin-Robbins. The first charm features a nostalgic scoop of cotton candy, ice cream, perched atop a cinnamon waffle cone, evoking the playful spirit of summer.
Remind me again, am I supposed to eat these?
No, it's a necklace still. The second charm showcases the brand's signature cappuccino blast, brimming with creamy coffee goodness and sprinkled with a dash of cinnamon. Don't get confused. It's not. Still a necklace. Completing the ensemble is a miniature replica of the beloved pink spoon, a nod to the brand's variety of ice cream flavors. And just in case your necklace sparks a sudden craving for a sweet treat, each order comes with a gift card to, you guessed it, Baskin-Robbins.
Awesome. I would hope so. I actually, with this fucking charm bracelet on, I better be able to walk into any Baskin-Robbins I want and order whatever I want off the menu. I should be able to exchange the charms for ice cream treats if I am hard up.
Yeah, you should be. You should be able to barter with them. Absolutely. Quote, we're thrilled to collaborate with Susan Alexandra to bring this charming collection to life. Here, hold on. I want to show you guys.
I need to show you this
charming collection. Because I feel like once you see these, you're going to have them. Huh. Yeah. So it's just these a little, I mean, it's just like I said.
I guess if no one else wants to say it, I don't think those look very good.
No. Yeah, it does look somewhat bad.
A thing that like a kid told their parent that morning, like, oh, by the way, I need a thing for school. Like, yeah. I've got an art project and it's done like now.
It's better than I could do it. Certainly.
Yeah, for sure. It's not one of those kinds of things.
If a jeweler handed me this product, I would raise an eyebrow. Just on account of how not very good they are or look.
Jared Grandinetti continued, is a VP of marketing over there. National Ice Cream Day is a time to celebrate the joy that ice cream brings to people of all ages. And what better way to communicate it than with a beautiful piece of jewelry that captures the essence of our beloved brand? I could think of some edible ways that might be kind of fun,
more pertinent.
But yeah, a little bit more pressing. And this is Susan Alexandra, who's known for her whimsical designs and attention to detail. Infuse each charm with her signature style, creating miniature works of art that are sure to delight ice cream lovers and fashion enthusiasts alike.
Maybe that's the aesthetic. Maybe it's the whimsy I'm not appreciating.
When I think of charms,
I think of little Monopoly pieces. And these look, these appear to be sort of hand-painted tiny. Maybe they're all made bespoke. And if that's the case, there's great value in that, obviously.
Now here's the weirdest part of this, guys. I'm gonna show you this part. Because in the middle of this press release, and I don't know if maybe we're getting a little AI interference in the gumming up the works, but it says Susan Alexandra and that whole bit.
Yeah.
And it says, ice cream has always held a special place in my heart, and I'm thrilled to partner with Baskin-Robbins to create this sweet collection, said Susan Korn.
Who's Susan Korn?
Huh. Yeah, I don't know, Griffin. I don't know, man. It's really weird, but at one point in this press release, they just call her Susan Korn.
Oh, she loves that band.
Susan Korn is also a jewelry designer.
Okay, so it's a different Susan Korn? So, sorry, they just got confused about their Susans?
Because there's Susan Alexandra, known for her whimsical designs, and then there's Susan Korn.
I think maybe she...
Who is also a jewelry designer.
I think it's the same person. I think maybe they got married and changed their last name.
In the middle of the press release?
In the middle of the press release, I think so.
Every press release tells a story. And this press release tells the story of we forgot to go back and update the name previously.
So I don't know. It's very confusing. I'm not sure.
No, this is the same person. Not confusing.
Same person.
Susan Alexandra Korn.
It is confusing, Griffin.
It's very confusing.
Because they didn't write it good.
They didn't write it good. Charm jewelry allows us to carry our passions with us wherever we go. And I hope these playful charms bring joy to everyone who wears them. And I say right now, I'm loving it over here. I think this is
I do like them. I've changed my expectations. I just want to say, I've changed my expectations. I was thinking basic, little baby sterling silver stuff. I think these are.
Yeah.
I think these are just great.
They're very cute.
I like the idea, though, that having a charm on a bracelet allows me to carry my passions with me wherever I go, as if maybe I could break out a tiny little tennis game with the little racket on my thing. Not just as a totem that I can be like, I like this thing, but instead, a little bit of it with me.
I've never used or owned a Coke spoon, but from what I've heard,
this would be cool.
Charm, this would look cool. This would be a classy one.
Great for that. I bet.
I don't know.
What's a good amount of Coke?
Yeah, what's like...
Hey, brothers.
I always hear the term bump, and I don't know if that's metric or imperial. Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons why I have not and don't really have any interest in doing cocaine. I would say the number one issue would be I would show up to a table or a mirror or maybe a table made out of a mirror.
And someone's butthole,
and they would put out an amount of cocaine, and I would be like, all right, here I go. How much is the whole thing?
As I'm using my credit card to slice off, I don't know, a line or whatever, I'm definitely watching that person's face. And... Right. I don't know that I'd be able to parse if the disappointment was he's taking way too much or he's not doing enough.
But he's brushing a lot of this into the carpet.
That line is not straight. He's going to have a hard time lining that up. He's going to have to go in a zigzag pattern with his face to get all of that.
Yeah.
He's setting himself up a Hot Wheels track of cocaine.
A domino rally of coke.
The tone of voice I would adopt when asking how much cocaine should I do would force the other person, if they cared about me in the slightest, to say, I'm not going to let you do this.
Yeah.
There's no way. I can tell you don't actually want to.
That's why
not
what
ready
you do
this.
Is you say, let me cut you a line first. Tell me when. How much do you want? Say when.
I'll have what he's having.
Is that too much? How much are you feeling tonight?
You make the line the same length, but the line is way taller. It's like your mound is too... Bro, are you trying to fucking rage tonight? Your mound is huge.
You never see him level it off in movies, right?
No, you don't.
Get out of your little measuring spoon and then whoop, right off
Give
the
me a little
top.
Tasteful cocaine mold that I can turn into
please.
Like a little bento box.
A cocaine sandcastle. Don't limit yourself.
Just make it a pill I can eat.
Thank you.
Just a cocaine pill.
I don't think that's too much to ask.
Or a drink. I know how to take that. I know how to imbibe a drink.
Indeed you do, Trav.
Thank you, Justin. I've been using Big Boy cups for many years now.
Very proud. Oh, I meant to tell you guys a story before we do our next question. I'll tell you a story real quick because I meant to tell you. We did one of those murder mysteries, you know, like a immersive murder mystery where everybody has a character when we're at the beach. And it was like an 80s themed thing. And there was not enough roles for the kids. So the kids had to be the children of some of the guests at the murder mystery, right?
Cool.
So we're all sitting around eating dinner, having some steaks and sliced and made. And we're doing our murder mystery. And then at one point, Cooper, who was playing Sydney's daughter, who was like a kids food YouTuber named Lila.
She was born for that role.
I know. It was a perfect role for her. At one point, she comes to me. She says, Dad, I want to go change my costume. And I'm like, okay. So she leaves. Okay. This is about an hour and a half into the murder mystery.
Were you her dad? Was your character her dad?
Sydney was her parent. I was Charlie's parent.
Okay.
I was a tech billionaire and Sydney was a...
Then I got to just critique you right here, Juice. You should have said, I'm sorry, little girl. You seem to be confused.
And maybe with a southern accent.
I am Maxwell Boulevard.
Sorry, Griffin. She said pause the game first.
Oh, okay.
Then that's
before
fine.
She said. So, yeah. So I sent her upstairs, and we're all sitting around the table, and we're, you know, reading our different parts. And then Cooper comes down in a completely different outfit with completely different makeup. And she's sitting at the table and takes the seat she had previously. And we said, hello. She said, hello. I'm Sailor. I am Lila's cousin.
Oh,
interesting. So where the murder mystery continues another half hour, and Sailor's great. We're wild about Sailor. Until she goes out, pretends to get a phone call, and goes outside.
Okay.
And she's out there for like a minute, and then she comes back in, and she looks like she's been crying. And we say, Cooper, what's wrong? Sorry, we said sailor. What's wrong? I just got off the phone. Lila was murdered. She said, and it was the murderer from this. She killed Lila too.
Oh my God.
I said, what?
Holy shit.
The child
Lila? A double homicide?
She said, yes. She killed my... Lila's been murdered. I just heard on the phone.
We're dealing with a serial killer.
And it was this same killer that did it.
There are no new clues from that murder.
Nothing new. No new reveals. I got to tell you guys, the way that this reveal ratcheted up the intensity of the evening, where suddenly this was no longer a crime of mistaken identity or passion. This is a full-on maniac that we had to stop.
And he could kill again.
The grand reveal at the end of the murderer's identity had a slightly different pallor when we did then have to inquire about the murder of Lila.
The seemingly unrelated kid killing that happened. A great distance away, it sounds like.
In England, actually.
Wow.
I know.
A real jet setter.
I was surprised, too. How about another question?
How's that? Yes, please. I want it.
Every time I'm out driving and I see a car that is the same make, model, and color as mine, I have the urge to get the other driver's attention to point out that we have the same car. Mm-hmm. What is the best way to do this? In the past, when I've successfully waved down a car that's the same as mine, the other driver's never nearly as excited as I am. Oh, you don't say. Should I still keep trying to get the attention of my car twins or just leave them be? That's from Same Car Seer in Santa Cruz, California.
Now, listen, I haven't implemented this in a while, but would a sign help?
Oh, wow.
Because here's my thought process. Anytime I'm in a car, if someone's desperately trying to get my attention,
mm-hmm.
the level of, like, I left something on top of the car, I'm on fire, the gas, like, I've left the gas pump in and I've driven off and it's dragging around behind, right? Something's terribly wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The amount of time it would take me to process that, no, it's just exciting that we have the same make, model, and color
right,
car.
Of course. I don't want to be freaked out for even a second when I'm behind the wheel of my big automobile.
So if I look over and you just hold up a sign that says, like, car tweens, right? Yeah. Like, I think that would instantly clue me. I'm going to feel both excitement and relief.
Where is the car twin sign that it is both accessible and safe?
Yeah.
I'm driving.
You got 10 and 2. You got 10 and 2.
10 and 2. Oh, I see this was happening at a red light.
We changed it. It's 9 and 3. We changed it.
We changed it?
Did it?
When?
Daylight savings time.
I changed. Yeah, daylight savings time. It's 9 and 3 now. They realized that nobody ever did 10 and 2.
You just half cock it.
Got carpal tunnel.
I like to do 10 and 8.
I get 12,
30 or 2 and 8.
All day long. That's where I'm at.
I do 8 and 9. Just over
I got
here.
A finger on 6. I drove 300 miles with a finger on 6.
I just assumed that this was happening at a red light. But if this is happening while in motion.
That's bad. I don't want anybody. Oh, man. It's
at a red light, you get the extra panic of, oh, they could kill me. Like, I can't just go. I can't just zoom out of here.
I do assume, once again, someone's desperately trying to get my attention. They're angry at me.
Absolutely.
I think that if it's silent and you're just giving them the full bore stare and they make eye contact with you, then I think like double thumbs up,
same car.
Maybe
same
like
car.
Point around the window.
Same
like...
car. And you mount the same car. The same
you
car.
Same car.
Same car.
One time I was driving along, like, between Charleston and Huntington. It's like a 50-hour-long drive. And for like
50-hour-long drive?
No, it's like 50 minutes to an hour, depending, yeah.
You understand. Okay.
And this car, for about 10 minutes, was keeping pace with me in the lane next to me. And I'm, like, looking straight ahead because I was like, what's happening? Why is this person doing this? And then I was like, I must know them. That must be it. So I turned and looked. I did not recognize the person at all. They looked at me, threw up the bird so hard.
Oh, no.
Like, but, like, not in an angry way. Like, it was an explosive, like, thumbs up. They looked at me and went, and, like, threw their head back.
What had you done?
Zoomed off.
What had you done?
No, this is what I'm saying, Griffin. They didn't seem angry.
Yeah.
They seemed like they were just waiting for the perfect time to give me an 80s cool dude.
Like a prank.
Cold one. And then fly off.
I still think about it to this day.
I've many times been in a situation where I'll look at a car of people that are younger than me, and I notice they're all kind of looking in my direction and kind of laughing. And it's like, I know it's not mean-spirited probably, but they're probably like just kind of clowning on me for whatever. It could be anything. My car, my sort of like shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
I just wish they would kind of point to something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That they don't like that they're laughing at. So I would know,
you
like,
can fix it.
What can I work on? Because I can't fix just you laughing at me and pointing. But if they're like, your shirt is a joke.
Yeah.
It's bad.
That's why I roll down my window and I say, like, is it something specific or just my whole deal in general? Please.
My shirt has a serial mascot on it. And that's, I'm guessing that's the offending issue.
Is that what it is? That's fair.
Are you guys laughing because you're intimidated by me? Because that's what my dad says it is. Is that the case? Or, like, what's... No?
I think it's 2024. I think we have evolved the needs behind the great job horn. The suggestion that there would be a trio of horns, I believe. One letting a driver know they're doing a great job. One... to let them know politely, like, hey, it's time to go. And one for, hey, fuck you, man. I think that we need more buttons on the machine. Maybe it's an app, and we can hit people with a same car. We can hit people with a, your shirt is Clown Town juice. Like,
I need a button that's interrogative, that's like a yes, like, can I help you kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. It should be like a bop, 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 and that means you got a Hemi? You working with a Hemi in that bad boy?
What if each brand had its own distinct horn that was almost sort of like an audio bumper that you could play whenever you're just wanting to kind of crow around? And it's everyone sounded, it's like, Nissan, or whatever.
Sega.
Well, it would be more like, Nissan, because it's a horn, I don't know.
Honda. That's each one's got key. Higher and higher and higher. Yeah.
Toyota.
Toyota would be cool. You just hit
check
the
check this out. Kia. That one writes
that
really
good. Easy. Maybe it's just personalized to the person.
Yeah.
And I would love a Travis horn.
Can I do one more? Ready?
Yeah.
Tesla.
Pretty good.
Here it goes. Honk it. Tesla, I cost $200,000, Tesla.
I saw a Tesla Cybertruck the other day, and I finally put together, it's actually a service being offered where if you ever need to ramp over something, they're
so
there
wild.
For you, so you can be like, yeah, ramp off my bank,
I've seen one in person now, and guys, the amount of joy and delight,
it makes
I wanted
so
to
happy.
Weep. It made me so happy. There is a non-zero chance at this point in Huntington, I will pull up at a stoplight behind the Cybertruck and the Michael Keaton Batman, Batmobile, that are just like ready to have a drag race against each other. That could happen to me.
The Cybertruck looks like when Pixar occasionally publishes their like blooper behind the scenes, like we were trying to animate this scene and we put in like one number wrong, so all the lines went to the wrong place and you could like see Woody's teeth through it or something. Like that's what the design for the Cybertruck is.
The Cybertruck looks like you're trying to watch truck pornography on your parents' TV, but they didn't pay for it. No, wait, I think that's a bumper. Look.
Right there,
it's a bumper.
Oh, no, it's backwards.
No, it's back. Okay, no, shoot, okay.
I think it looks like from Star Fox on Super Nintendo, Andross's dick. That's probably what Andross's dick
looks like. It does look like a car rendered
like.
On Nintendo 64.
It's got, this car has Super FX.
Hey, thank you for listening to My Brother, Me. It's this show right now. It's this one that you're enjoying. Or at least I hope you're enjoying. 720 of them at this point. 22? This is the 722nd one that you've listened to.
It does not. You guys realize that none of it matters until 1,000, right? Like, we are staring down the barrel of a good 278 episodes of just doesn't matter until we hit 1K. That's the next big milestone.
1K is a big one.
But speaking of milestones, we got one because we just finished up Taz versus Dracula over on the Adventure Zone.
Y'all, it was so good. It was, I think, our most chuckle-filled season to date. Footloose Fancy Free Dracula Adventure. Give it a shot if you have not yet.
Just try it once.
Now, for the time being between seasons, we are going to be going back to bi-weekly episodes to give us some time to get the next season ready. So there won't be a new episode next week, but there will be a VV Adventure Zone coming out on August 22nd. And if you have questions for that T-Taz, email them to adventurezonecast@gmail.com and put T-Taz's in the subject line.
That's T-T-A-Z-Z. That's not a real word, and we wouldn't expect you to know how to spell it right. Hey, we got some new merch. There's a Trap Nation pin designed by Riley Woolworth and a new Munch Squad sticker designed by Tyler Reed. All of our merch can be found at McElroyMerch.com, and 10% of all proceeds this month will go to World Central Kitchen. Thank you to everyone who came out to see us at Gen Con. Coming up next, we are going to be in Portland doing Mabim Bam and Taz at Rose City Comic Con September 6th and 7th. And then we're going to be in Orlando and Atlanta on September 21st and 22nd. So come see us for all those. If you're in Denver, Phoenix, Indianapolis, or Milwaukee, we're coming your way later this year. So again, bit.ly/McElroyTours for tickets and more information. And thanks to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. Montaigne, up on Patreon now. Get over there and support Montaigne's work in a very direct way, because they're amazing.
That's going to do it for us. Do we have a wish to see?
Yeah, I got one
right
here. I'll read it.
Oh, I'm ready.
Give me a little bit of sound bath, boys.
I mean, you already have the tornado siren going in the background, so.
Yeah. Maybe we'll just do more of that.
I wish I knew what did impress Shania Twain.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother, me. Kiss your dad. Square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.